The protagonist in The Swinger, a new novel set in golf, is nicknamed Tree. Tree has moved from child golf prodigy to Masters champion in record time, signed lots of endorsement contracts, become a multi-millionaire, married a beautiful woman, fathered two lovely children, and if you don't recognize the real-world model for Tree yet, you really haven't been paying attention. The Swinger was written by two senior writers at Sports Illustrated, Alan Shipnuck, who joins me from KAZU in Monterey, California. Alan, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
And Michael Bamberger, who joins us now on the line. Michael, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Bill.
I've mentioned already some of the similarities between Tiger Woods and Tree Tremont. There are others. Both are sons of fathers who made careers in the military and served in Vietnam, and who claimed their sons would have a greater influence on the world than did Jesus. Michael, is there any significant way in which Tree differs from Tiger?
Yes, Tree is obsessed with using good grammar, even though he struggles with it, because his mother was a Caucasian English teacher from Chicago who was very dedicated to using language properly.
Okay. The narrator in The Swinger is a newspaper man until he leaves the paper to work full-time for Tree Tremont Enterprises. Part of his job is to convince other newspaper men that Tree Tremont's private life is none of their business. Michael, do you agree with that contention?
Yes, I really don't care about the private lives of the athletes that we cover. I think it's an absolute joke that we are going to hold them up to some high standard of what somebody else says is ethical behavior. And whatever happens between Tree Tremont and his wife, Belinda, you can fill in any names you like there, is their business, and they should work it out on their time. And people say, oh, he took all this money from Buick and blah, blah, blah. I really couldn't care. He got that money because he was, you know, as my colleague Alan Shipnuck says, the greatest closer in the history of sport. That's why he made that money, not because he was some paragon of the family man. He's not our preacher. He's not an elected official. He's not a school teacher. He's just an athlete.
At one point, the narrator, Josh Dutra, says, and I'm quoting now, hanging out with Tree Tremont was as intoxicating as anything I'd ever done. Alan, is that the way writers following Tiger Woods felt about being in his presence?
To some degree, you know, Tiger was such a transcendent athlete and such a charismatic figure, but most writers didn't get to hang out with Tiger. We were sort of denied that, and we never got to know him. And just the extent of that was made clear when the scandal broke and everyone was kind of scratching their heads saying, wow, did you know about that? Well, maybe a little, not really.
Well, that's the interesting thing to me. Well, maybe, I don't know, a little. Writers were close enough to him to know that something was going on, no?
I'll tell you what a bad reporter I am. I had no idea at all.
Well, I'd heard a few whispers, but, you know, the PGA Tour is like high school with money. It's a very cloistered little world, and it's full of rumor mongering and backstabbing and cliques. And the fact that you hear a little something doesn't mean it's true. So, no, certainly no one knew the extent and the scope of it. And that just drove home the fact that we never really knew Tiger Woods.
I don't feel like I know Tiger Woods at all. I've covered the guy for, you know, since he was an amateur teenager in California. He's unknowable. To be that public and to give that many press conferences and to reveal that little about yourself takes a certain level of genius. When he was still, I think, in high school, he was hanging out with a writer named Jaime Diaz, who writes for Golf Digest, and he said to Jaime at one point, why do they have to know everything? And, of course, he was talking about the press. That struck me as one of the truest things you've ever heard come out of Tiger Woods' mouth, and I think it informed everything he's done in public since then.
Alan, are you at all concerned about how Tiger Woods himself will respond to this novel? I mean, assuming he returns to the tour and plays well, how much access do you guys expect to get?
Well, we've already gotten a nice flame mail from his publicist, so we know at least the people around him are not thrilled about the book. But, of course, when that was written, they hadn't read it yet, and we've put copies in the hands of people close to Tiger. We'd love for Tiger to read the book. He's an ideal reader. He'll get all the jokes. He'll understand the historical allusions. You know, he's a sophisticated golf fan, so I think if he actually read it, not only would he appreciate those aspects of it, but we treat our protagonist, Tree, with a certain empathy and understanding that I don't think Tiger's been afforded in the real world. So hopefully Tiger will read the book, and that will soften his feelings toward it. As far as being worried about future access, you know, before the book, we had almost no access. and not just personally, but reporters in general. So that's been a constant theme. Oh, Tiger's never going to talk to you again. Well, he never really talked to us in the first place, so we're not really risking very much. But I really do hope he reads the book. And, you know, the shrillest criticism of this story is going to come from those who don't read it. I think people who pick it up will really have they'll change their feelings towards what Tiger's been through based on, you know, what we put our protagonist through.
Well, tell me a little bit more about the response from Tiger's camp before they had the opportunity to read the book.
Well, it was just basic garden variety, belly aching. You know, how could you do this? This story is not about Tiger Woods, but no question, his travails helped inspire us and to create this, you know, alternate universe where we could really get to know the characters. So, again, I think that if Tiger reads a book, we'd love to have an informed discussion with him about it. If he never picks it up, it's going to be hard to penetrate the ill feelings of those around him.
And if I could just follow on that, I think Alan said something really important. This book is written with a lot of, as Alan just said, sympathy and empathy for our protagonist. The more writing we did, we found we liked the guy more and more, and we felt sorry for him more and more. And the real life Tiger Woods is almost like a freak show, the way he grew up. You know, here's this kid at age 3 on the Mike Douglas show, and everybody's looking at him all the time, and never really had the opportunity to be socialized in, you know, certainly in a conventional way. Often talks about the 2 years at Stanford that he had as the best 2 years of his life, when he could actually hang out with other kids and be a little bit of a kid. But, I mean, Tiger Woods has not had a normal life. Tremendous wealth and tremendous opportunity, tremendous temptation, as we know now. And he made the decisions that he made. And I know there are people who hear what I just said, and they'll think it's a joke, but I don't think it's a joke. I don't think Alan does either. You know, we felt our new jobs as novelists was to try, and what we do when we write nonfiction too, is try to get to understand the character.
I'm speaking with Alan Shipnuck and Michael Bamberger, authors of The Swinger, and you're listening to Only a Game. The similarities between Tiger Woods and Tree Tremont are so numerous that some readers are bound to think that you guys are revealing new information about Woods. You put a specific number on the number of women with whom he cheated on his wife, for example. Would those readers be wrong?
They really would be, and they really shouldn't do that. This is absolutely a novel. There are a lot of broad similarities. We've invented this guy up out of whole cloth. We had a lot of fun doing it. We hope we've penetrated the soul of our own character a little bit. But Tree Tremont should never, not for a minute, be confused for the real-life Tiger Woods.
I don't want to give away any more of the plot of the novel than we perhaps already have, although much of it will be apparent to anybody who has followed the story of Tiger Woods. But, Alan, were you trying to suggest to Mr. Woods an ending that his story might have?
I don't think that we're that presumptuous, but, you know, what's appealing about what happens with Tree is he learns from his mistakes, and he comes to the public and he admits them, and he had a double life, he had a triple life, and certainly there's some parallels to what Tiger's been through. And, you know, he talked about when he came back from his scandal, he was going to do things differently and he was going to be more open, and that really hasn't happened. If anything, he's become more cloistered, and we all would like to see a little more of Tiger's humanity. He can be an extremely funny person in private. If he could be a little more authentic, I think sports fans would certainly respond to that and would appreciate it.
I mean, look where Kobe Bryant is now. You know, look where Bill Clinton is now. I mean, to think of someone who's actually important. You know, Mike Tyson's in The Hangover, you know, a convicted rapist. It's part of our generous spirit as Americans is the second chance. My own feeling, I think Alan probably feels the same. There's absolutely no reason why Tiger Woods, with all his talent and all his wealth and all his fame, can't do tremendous good works, which he already is doing philanthropically, and lead a great, happy, productive life. Why not?
Alan Shipnuck and Michael Bamberger, both Sports Illustrated senior writers, have written The Swinger, a novel published by Simon & Schuster. Alan Shipnuck joined me from KAZU in Monterey, California. Alan, thanks very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And Michael Bamberger spoke to us from his home. Michael, thanks to you as well.
Thanks for having us.
What are you if not some kind of swinger? I'm maddened from the cold, you're so hot. You are the one I should wear.
It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, Harvard University, whose Harvard Extension School has online and on-campus courses for students around the world, extension.harvard.edu, and Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm. With 3,000 professionals worldwide, Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. This is NPR.
Tatanka.
More than 100 people competed in the dried buffalo dung throw at last weekend's Fur Trade Day's celebration in Chadron, Nebraska. The youngest competitor was 4 years old, and he didn't even come close to winning. That distinction went to Jason Orr, a 28-year-old man who tossed his buffalo chip almost 168 feet. Hopeful tossers from six states had gathered for the opportunity to compete in one of seven divisions, meaning that somebody actually put some time into organizing this weird enterprise. Winners got plaques featuring a buffalo chip that had been spray-painted gold, silver, or bronze. I'm going to stop now. I got the spirit of